got a special day today, and we're going to have a panel. We're in a series called Why Jesus? And if it's your first time here at Vertical, my name's Philip. I'm so glad that you are here today. I'm just so thankful, whether it was online or in a movie theater in Hiawassee, you're here in a gym morning, and you joined us today, and I'm so grateful for that. And we're talking about why Jesus, and we're exploring that question in several different ways. And one of the things I want to talk about is, why did Jesus live in community? Like, if you look at the way he lived his life, he had 12 hombres running around with him. He had women follow him around. They went from town to village. They just kind of lived life together, and that's different than how we live. But why did Jesus do it that way? Why did Jesus place a value on community? And I think it's because inside of community, we can grow spiritually. And right now, inside of our American culture, there's some things that make us so strong as a country, but those same strengths can have some things attached to them. And we're a deeply individualistic culture. It's how we live our life. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. We have innovation. We're do-it-yourself. And some of those things are so great. But they can also sometimes hold us back from growing spiritually when we try to do everything on our own and not together. And so let's talk about what is in the power of community. And so I want to introduce to you some of the people who are joining us on our panel. Y'all come on out. Give it up for our panel today. Help me welcome them and thank them for joining us today. So we've got Gabe Miller, Kathy, and Alan, and I'm so grateful they are joining us. Alan actually has helped run our longest standing community group, celebrating 5 years this summer, which is pretty impressive. Yes. And then Kathy has been working with Bev, and you guys have been running a women's inductive Bible study for 3 years, which has just been powerful. Yeah, let's give it up. And then Gabe, you guys are running our 20s and 30s group, which has been also going about 3 years. And so I just asked them to come and join us today because I want to talk about the power of community. And it's not just me who believe in it. These are people who are giving of their time to help lead groups and help people grow in their faith. And so I want to just ask you a couple questions today and ask, you know, first off, what made you guys go to a community group? However many years ago, because for some of us that can be an intimidating thing or an uncomfortable moment to kind of put ourselves out there with maybe some people we don't know at all, right? We don't know these people. We're joining in this group, and maybe we're having food together, talking about the Bible in different ways. So, Alan, what made you first go to a group, however many years ago that was?
It's been a long time, Philip. I can't ever remember not going to community group.
Wow.
You know, I was blessed to have parents that took me to church, big church, and little church, community group. My first community group, let me tell you about it. It's called nursery. From nursery, I went to beginners. Then it was called primaries. Then it was called juniors. Then it was called intermediate. Then it went on up from there. I'm now in a senior adult community group. But, you know, all of these were divisions of something called Sunday school. It was called training union. It was called choir. It was called royal ambassadors. It was called vacation Bible school. These are all just terms, Pastor Philip. But behind these terms, there are faces. There are names. There are real people that made such a big impact on my life. I just want to mention some names right now.
Go for it.
Okay. There was Howard and Beverly McDowell. So long ago, made such an impact. Beverly's parents, John and Mary Walden. There were neighbors, Bill and Mary Helen Williams. There was the youth guy at our tiny, tiny church. His name was Anthony Powers. There was Mary McGee. Later on in life, there was Ted Brown. There was June Ransbotham. There was Jim Wallace. Are you getting the idea that there's a lot of people?
Yep.
There was Jim Lewis. More close to here and now, I'm just going to give an example. There's Mike and Pat Baldwin, and there's my darling, darling wife, Teresa. All of these people made investments in the kingdom of God by investing in me. They invested their lives in me. They didn't dig a hole to bury their Matthew 25 talents. They put them to work, earning interest in the kingdom of God. And part of that is me and so many others that they impacted. That's my story of community group.
And you and Teresa have been doing it 5 years now here at Vertical, which we're super thankful for.
And
so what,
we are too.
What about you, Kathy? What led you to get involved in a community group whenever that happened?
Well, I'm going to start a little more recently and talk about when we first came to Vertical. And I think Andreas and I first joined a community group because we were looking for a group of people that would help us get to know God better. There's really two reasons. The first was to get to know God better, because if there's something I have learned in my walk of life, it's that to love and serve God with my whole heart, I need to get to know Him more. And we felt we could do that best with Bible study. Now, I know that many of us do individual Bible study and through prayer, and we certainly get to know God that way. But I find that when I meet with other Christ followers and they share what the Holy Spirit has revealed to them, it just opens up a whole new meaning to Scripture and a much deeper relationship with Christ. And the second reason was, of course, we're new to Vertical. We came, my husband's German, I'm from Michigan. So we wanted to meet a Christian community and find people who would encourage us, support us, pray with us, and just kind of go through life with us. And we have found that, and we have been so blessed by it.
Awesome. What about you, Gabe? What first got you involved in a kind of community group?
Very much like Alan, I was blessed with a family that that taught me the importance of community, and grew up with a pretty cool youth pastor who's hanging out in the back row back there that taught us the importance of community and small groups, and gave us the opportunity to lead our peers. I think back to all the years of our Disciple Nows, kind of how that works is there's a group that'll come in as like college age kids to lead some of the younger guys, but he developed leaders in the youth group and gave us an opportunity to lead. And that started from when I was in seventh grade all the way through college and even after. And then through college and into getting married, I talked to Gabby, and both of us wanted to be involved in a community, not just a community group. This is outside of Jesus. And that group blessed us immensely outside of our walk with Christ. But about 2 months ago, a little bit more, when Joey made his way here, we got food, we got whatever else we needed. And it was awesome. Thank you guys for pouring into us. But from a young age, I've been involved in community groups.
Yeah, so just for maybe one example, could you, over your time in a community group, maybe point to one thing that made an impact on how you're following Jesus now? Was there any moment that really made an impact in your spiritual walk while you were in a community group? Kathy, what anything stick out to you?
Well, I think what sticks out to me is just how much I can learn from other Christian and Christ followers. It doesn't seem to matter in our group if someone is a new believer or if someone has walked with Christ their whole life. I find that when we discuss Scripture, the Holy Spirit reveals just profound truths that bring me closer in my walk. And if I can just maybe give an example, a week ago we had the story in Acts of Eutychus, who's the guy who sat in a window while Paul is preaching through the night, and he falls asleep, and he falls out of the window and hits the ground and dies. And Paul doesn't miss a beat. He goes down, brings the guy back to life, and then goes on preaching. Well, one person took from that story that Paul was laser focused on the gospel, that Paul was just laser focused on Jesus. Somebody else took from that story the humbleness of Paul, that Paul was in complete submission to God's will. And somebody else took from the story the details that were in the Bible and why they were there. Why does he talk about many lamps in the room? And then someone else said that Paul didn't pay attention to the miracle because it's the gospel that saves, not the miracle. And I left that Bible study thinking alone, I never would have pulled so much out of that passage. So that really sticks to my mind.
Absolutely. Alan, what about you? Anything stick out over the years?
One of the things that I've come to understand through community groups is that there are no Lone Ranger Christians. We're not in this thing by ourselves or for ourselves. And while we are individually and personally saved by the grace of God alone and Christ alone, by faith alone, we are born into community. We are not born into just to be ourselves. And just kind of an offshoot of all of that, something that has helped me in community is that my community group has served to be a form of checks and balances so that I do not lean solely on my own understanding, that in all my ways I might acknowledge him and he will direct my path. I've also come to learn that Christ goes with me. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. But he is with us through community. He does it in many ways, but one of the big, big ways that Jesus is God with us is in and through community. And I'm thankful for that, and that's impacted my life.
Amen. Gabe, what about you?
I have to agree with both of them. To answer the question, one of the biggest things that I've seen that has impacted me through community group is just what I said, just the way that our community came together when Joey was born. It would have been tough to get meals on the table and and take care of the youngin' and do all that. And we had just about every other day for about a month straight, we had people bringing food. And that, to me, tells me that community is not just a thing to do at church, community group. It's something to do life with people that that want to get closer to Christ. And Jesus gave us that example. He had 12 dudes that he lived with for at least 3 years that we have documented. And of that, he had three best friends that he would go and do ministry with. And if the guy that we're supposed to be following his example did this, then that's what I'll take from it, is why not do that ourselves?
Absolutely. Well, that kind of leads me to the next question I want to ask. And it's one thing to maybe begin to value community and doing it together. It's another thing to look in the mirror one day and go, I think I'm going to lead a group now. You know, that's an interesting leap. And I'm sure maybe it required a little faith, or maybe you felt intimidated possibly doing that first group. So, Gabe, tell me about when you first went to lead a group. Why would you do that?
This is actually an answer that Gabby helped me with, because my answer is God said to. And that doesn't take much time. And I'm going to read this because it's kind of her words and mine. We lead a group because we love the Lord. We love to build people up. We love to connect with people and do life with them. And most importantly, we love to point people to Jesus and help everyone around us strengthen their and our relationship with him. So we're not in this because we're better than anybody else and we need to say, here's the path, but let's do this together. We love to fellowship and support people, and fellowship means eat together. I love to eat, and I love to eat with people. Most importantly, we're very honored to lead our group and thankful that God gave us the opportunity.
Awesome. Alan, what first led you to lead a group?
I'm not going to speak, Pastor Phil, to what first led me to lead a group, but I want to speak to what most recently led me to lead a group, which I say recently, it's the latest time was some 14 years ago, and I did not want to lead a group. I resisted God's call to lead a group. I was in retirement. I was ready to sit back on the back row. See that row back, way back there? Yeah, right back there.
To us. What's up, back
yeah,
row?
Yeah, back there. And that was my seat, actually behind them. But the truth of the matter is God called me, and he wouldn't let go. Through God's grace, he called me, he gifted me, he empowered me, he sent me to be a leader of a group, a teacher of a group. I was compelled to tell the story of Jesus. I just, when he got a hold of me, he got a hold of me good. And I've just got to tell the story of Jesus. There's a song that our vertical worship team sings, and I just love it. I have trouble singing it because I cry when I sing it. It says, I just want to speak the name of Jesus. And that's what I'm compelled to do. And I just can't help it. The Lord has given me a hunger, an appetite, a passion for his word. And I just consume it. You know what I mean? I just consume it. I eat it up like a great big plate of fried shrimp. And those of you who have seen me eat shrimp know I can eat a lot of shrimp. But I find it totally satisfying. Totally just good. And I'm passionate about it. And when I'm passionate about it, I just can't help it. But it's got to overflow. And I've got to share it. It's a treasure. And I just can't keep it in. I've got to let it out. And that's what I do. I'm not through yet. Okay? I'm not through. I can talk about obedience, and I've got to be obedient to the call of our Lord to do this. But I want to tell you, this is a joyful obedience. It's a passionate, it's a something I don't got to do, but it's something I get to do. I want to share one verse of scripture that kind of speaks to all this, and this is Romans 15:17. Out of NIV, it says, therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every soul. I speak Jesus.
Amen. Kathy, what about you?
That was quite an answer. And I pray for that hunger for God's word all the time. And I think for me as well, it was that nudge of the Holy Spirit. I had done an inductive Bible study at a former church, and it's the Bible study where every person prayerfully studies the scripture, asks the questions who, what, when, why, how. And then we get together and share what the Holy Spirit has revealed to us. So I went to Phil and I said, I'm thinking of starting an inductive women's Bible study. And he said, let me introduce you to Bev Bright. So Bev and I had coffee together and realized that we had that similar passion. And I know we both felt that God had brought the two of us together. And that was 3 years ago. I wouldn't say that we necessarily lead the Bible study, because it is a Bible study that we more facilitate just so that we stay focused on the word. But I can say that the women in the Bible study have been one of the greatest blessings in my life, and that I think we all have grown more deeply in faith because of it.
I love it. And you know, and what's so interesting to me is all three of your groups are different in certain ways, but the foundations are all very much the same. Mm-hmm. You know, Gabe and Gabby, you guys lead a group, and it's for people in their 20s and 30s. And, you know, actually, I'll just go through. Just tell me, you know, kind of briefly, if people don't know what your group looks like, tell people what your group looks like.
Yeah, we lead a group of 20s and 30s. We ask two questions. What does Scripture say to you, and how does it apply to our life? And we met, was it 2 weeks ago now? We meet the first Tuesday of every month and spend time. We'll share dinner together, and then we'll dig into the Word. And just, I learned even more from the conversation that we had of this. Let's see, we went into the salt and the light. I learned more in that conversation than I have even my whole life listening to that same passage being preached or whatever. Just great conversation. And like I said, we fellowship and get to know each other and get to do life together.
Awesome. Kathy, what about you and Bev?
Our study is a women's inductive Bible study. We've done the book of Ephesians, and now for 2 years we have done the book of Acts. We met originally face-to-face. We moved to Zoom during COVID, and then we kept on Zoom because some of the people that had joined the group are people who travel because of work or had sick parents that they were taking care of, and so we've continued Zoom until this time. But it is, we meet two times a month, the first and the third Thursdays of every month. And we have time for Zoom fellowship, but we also get together outside and have lunch together. So, and we hope to do that at least once a month from now on as well. But if somebody's interested in a face-to-face inductive Bible study, I would be more than happy to help that get started.
Awesome. What about you and Teresa?
We meet in our home on Wednesday nights at 6. We have a meal, and we have Bible study. We've had a number of studies over the years. Like I say, it's been several years now. But our most recent study that we're currently in is one centered on, kind of like you were talking about earlier, Kathy, knowing God. There's very little that supersedes knowing God and His knowing us. J.I. Packer wrote a book called Knowing God, and he said it's eminently more important to be known by God. And it's through His knowing us that we know Him. We started in the book of Genesis, went to Exodus. We actually had a knowing God study on Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. We switch now to the New Testament and are in Matthew. We will probably be in Matthew for the next 150 years. So that's kind of where we are now.
Awesome. I do have one last question.
Can I throw in one more group?
Throw it in.
I'm also a part of one of the leaders of Man Church, too. And we meet we plan on meeting the last Sunday of every month. Again, we get together and have a meal and hear a message. But out of that, we have several small groups as well that get together and we play cornhole, play golf. We've got some Bible studies going on. It's a lot of fun, too.
It is.
And I'd like to just put in a little plug because I'm part of the Hiawassee campus. That's my maybe I don't look familiar to a lot of you. So, Courtney, I'm putting in a plug for we also have small groups in Hiawassee, especially for the women that walk and that meet for lunch. And so we can just share in each other's lives that way as well. And that's incredibly valuable.
Love it. So I do got one last question for you. Despite how many groups we've grown to over the past couple of years, we've gone from like 3 groups to like, I think it's close to 20, Pastor Chris, you know, can kind of fluctuate with groups that slow down for the summer or restart or things like that. What would you say to someone out there that maybe they're on the fence or they've never been part of a group or maybe if we're honest, we're part of a group and it went bad or burned them? What would you say to somebody who's not involved in a group right now on why they should consider or maybe encourage them to give a group another try? What you, Gabe?
I would say that we were created to live in community, kind of like what has already been said. Outside of just finding who we're supposed to be married to and or whatever that is, individually and as a family, we're supposed to live in community. Jesus gave us the greatest example. Like I said earlier, he lived with 12 dudes for his ministry. They didn't have a place to stay. He said that they would sleep on the rocks if they needed to. And out of that had 3 other best friends that he would share his most intimate thoughts with. And if Jesus needs that, the man that we're supposed to follow, the perfect man on earth, and even now after his resurrection, he lives in community with the Father and Holy Spirit. Then why wouldn't we do that if we're trying to follow him?
What about you, Kathy?
I would simply say take the plunge. I think the opportunity to grow more deeply in faith and in community is just incredible. And again, in Acts, in our Acts Bible study, we learned in Acts 17 about the Christians in Berea who examined the scriptures daily. And they did that as a group, and you can only imagine what an impact they had on their world because of the study that they were doing together. And so I can only imagine what we could do at Vertical if everybody was studying in the scriptures daily together. And that might not be possible, but doing what we can to grow in our relationship to Christ. And from personal experience, I can also say I didn't know any of these women. I am not from this area, but just how incredible the fellowship, and not only the fellowship, but now truly the friendships are that I have developed, and the people now that I have that I know will be lifelong friends. And what a gift and blessing that is. I wish that on every person here.
What about you, Alan?
I have two things to say. And this may not sound like encouragement, but I would like to encourage everyone to be obedient to the commands of the Bible, God's Word. I don't think I can quote a scripture and verse that says, thou shalt be a member of a Vertical community group.
It's not in there.
Well, I think it is. If you read between the lines, if you look at the example of Jesus and his disciples, if you look at the model that the New Testament, you talked about Acts, you know, in the other books of the New Testament, what they present, I think that is a command to be part of a small community group. And if you go to the 1 Peter chapter 2, it talks about we as living stones are being built up into a spiritual house. We are a holy priesthood, a chosen people. And all of that takes form beyond just a gathering such as in a movie theater or in a gym. It's got to be close. It's got to be daily. All that being said, I would just give the example of our own community group. We have great food. We have some Amen. Great cooks. You've tasted it.
It is very good food.
We have a good time. We have great and growing friendships. We tell stories. We laugh a lot. And we're growing in knowing Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Well, can you guys help me in thanking our panel? Yeah. So thank you guys for being here today. I appreciate it. I wanted to have a panel more than anything because it's one thing for me to get up as the pastor and say why I believe in community groups so much. And it can be another thing for you guys to kind of just like nod your head. But then to get to meet three of our group leaders, and we have a lot of them. I mean, I could go around. You know, there's Jeff Markin leading a group and Patty Collier leading a group and Chris Busby leading groups. There's so many different groups. And you may have picked up, you may have heard some of the things they're talking about and kind of been curious of like there's a group that plays cornhole or they go hiking together. How does that count as a group? Maybe that doesn't fit into the mold of what you thought a group looks like. But here at Vertical, we do, because one of the things we want groups to remove is this stigma of having a conversation about Jesus outside of church is awkward. We don't want talking about Jesus to be awkward. We think that's plaguing the Christian faith. But whether you're out hiking or fishing or getting around the Word, we don't want talking about Jesus to be awkward. We need to have conversations about Jesus and how he applies to our life. And I want to tell you nothing more than what the enemy wants for you is to not be in community. He wants you to try to live life on your own, but there's something powerful when you get a little bit vulnerable and you invite other people into your life, as uncomfortable as may be, it will absolutely be helpful. And there's many times where things are going difficult and it's going to get hard to keep trying to show back up. But when you get involved in a group, it's going to allow some support to be around you to help you grow spiritually and help you through hard times in life, because if you haven't figured out, life's not always easy, and to have a group rally around you can really be that supportive net that many of us need. So I want to encourage you as the pastor, if you're not in a group right now, why not? And if you're not, I encourage you, get onto our website, get onto our app, look at different groups. And I'm going to tell you, our church is not the only place that has great groups. Other churches have great groups. If you want to go there, great. But I'm telling you, what Alan said, you may not find the words vertical church in the New Testament, but you will find the biblical commands of getting involved in a community. And Jesus taught us that. He lived out his way, and we have to ask ourselves, if that's how Jesus lived, why would we say that's not how we need to live as well? And so I just want to encourage you, as we head into this summer, routines can change possibly, and maybe this is the time for you to add in being involved in a biblical community that's going to help you grow. Because what's going to change from right now to the end of this year spiritually in your life? And maybe that's a group that needs to happen to encourage you and spur you on. And so I just want to take the time. I want to encourage you. I want to invite our worship team back up. We're going to close out this service with a time of putting our attention on the Lord through worship. And we're going to close out and head into the rest of our week. But I want to take a moment to pray for you. Because I want to bless you, pray a blessing over you. If you're involved in a group, that the Lord will bless that group. He'll raise it up. But I also want to pray for you to have the courage. If you're not involved in a group right now, and this is an uncomfortable idea to show up and have a meal with people and go through a Bible study, you're like, that's so uncomfortable sounding. I want to pray that the Holy Spirit will encourage you, that you'll step out, that you'll give it a try. Because, man, there's so many other groups. These are just three of the people that represent different groups. But we really want to encourage you to spend some time with other people to help you grow spiritually. So I want us to pray, and we'll close out with one more time of worship. Lord, I pray right now for those who are involved in groups. Won't you just increase the fruit in their life? Won't you bless these groups to point people to you, Jesus? Won't you use these groups to encourage people, to pour out your love on people, to help them be spurred on toward love and good deeds? Help them not forsake the gathering of believers. But Holy Spirit, I want to pray also for people who right now are not involved in a community. And this is just a maybe uncomfortable idea or difficult idea, or maybe it's just so busy that it's hard to picture one more thing that I've got to do. But Holy Spirit, won't you just put something on their heart? Almost like what Alan went to, there's this calling, this pull, this tug that they can't deny, this draw to be involved in a community group that can love them, encourage them, and help them grow closer to you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, won't you draw people to you? And so as we close out the service, may we put our attention on you, Jesus. Speak into our life. Lead us and guide us as our good shepherd. In the name of Jesus, we pray and trust. Amen.